They can't, but they cannot capitalize on nothing. Look, look, I'm going to talk about the last quarter.
I could have written
here,
that script for you myself.
No. Not really, not really. not really. But listen, right, I get to deal with you. I'll deal with this quarter report. But just one instance here, I'm going to touch from the central bank's report. Will you believe, right, that this governing central bank said in his first quarter report that the whole of 2016, the government wages bill stood at $717 million. Will you believe that this government spent more on its wage bill for 2017 coming up to this election year than 2016? Where are their concerns? They spend more they've spent more in the 27 than 20.
But what has influenced that?
Bill?
See, your automatic assumption is that. No,
an
but telling me an election is not enough.
Tell you election not enough.
No, you got, if you are to.
But
if
that's the honest logic.
No, what is it specifically that the money has been spent on then?
The wages bill. The wages,
where?
No, you remember that after 2013, when they sent home, and that's the same point the NUPW are making all the time. That they decreased the bill,
yes.
Because during the in the height of the in fact in 2013, the wages bill went as high as over $1 billion. Now subsequently it was cut back to 717. Then Chris Sinclair then said they will not spend to wreck the economy, and it's crystal clear when everybody was saying they're bringing on new people. In December 2016 and through 2017. So that's a reckless move. They sent home people and brought back on people, when they know that will further damage the economy. Even their big supporter or former advisor, Mr. Frank Allen, said that do not go and spend and wreck the economy. This government has placed itself and its supporters before the country Barbados. I know Barbados is in a dilemma.
Well, let's get some other views
all
on
right.
It. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. No. I just want to make a few comments on what I've seen going on in Barbados at this present moment and how I think that Barbadians need now to look at going forward and going into this general election. Because I would have listened to the governor's central bank.
Yeah.
I would have read the comments of various people. And one of the things that would have caught my eye is where someone was saying that they look at the evaluation as an option. Now, I am one of the people that don't believe that I would ever like to see a devaluation of the current Barbadian dollar for a number of reasons, because I know that based on how things are now, it will be more catastrophic for a number of people and the population at large, I would say, because at the end of the day, even those people who would be getting pensions and things like this, it would be catastrophic. So therefore, I am of the view that devaluation is not part of the answer for me. What I do believe is the answer that we should be looking at as a people is to look at this election and going forward with something that you would have made recently there in a conversation you would have had, where accountability has to become one of the dominant...
No, you can't take me there. Honestly, you can't that's like jumping from the land side onto the seaside, from the beach into the water. Let's put it that way. Because if you are dismissing the idea of devaluation, then you still have to address the factors, the forces that are causing some people to say, we need to do it. So you have decided, I'm not going to devalue. But what is the alternative? What is the approach that you're going to adopt? Here in Barbados, you may recall that back in the 1990s, we were faced with this same dilemma. And the decision was, no, we were not going to devalue. But don't forget that the alternatives that we took caused people to march 20,000 strong twice in the country. So my question to you is, if not devaluation, how can you avoid tough measures nonetheless? You say that you say devaluation is going to be catastrophic, and there are people who would agree with you on that. But what is missing in this discussion is that they're not telling you that the alternatives are not easy.
Well, that is the point that I am getting at. I was about to make that point, that where it is concerned, if we are not going to look at devaluation, we can look at the devaluation. We can't expect that it would be a better roses in going forward. But at the same time, we can't have a situation where, like, for instance, you would have sent home 40,000 people and just join a reference. And then at the crucial stage, coming down to the final words, you know, you're going and you're bringing in more people, which is adding again more to your expenditure on all these things. And I believe, and going forward, what we need to do is to sit down now and have a total discussion across the country.
And to say what? To find out what
understand,
now?
Understand, but I mean all the parties.
To say what?
It's going forward and saying to the people what your positions would be.
But that's what's happening now.
I am one of the people who have no doubt, and everybody know that I'm a member of the Barbados Labour Party, and I didn't know about it. I believe that the policies that the Barbados Labour Party will be going forward with in looking to make a better life for the people of this country is that the things that need to be done, we will look at doing these things and going forward. First, you can't look to tax your way out of a recession. You can't look to it. You've got to look for ways to give people the opportunity to work. We've got to look at the inside, what is going on in Barbados now, and try more or less to gain the confidence, one, of the investors and people in this that would look at investing in this country, given the state of the country.
All right, as a Barbados Labour Party supporter, give me a break for a few seconds, because I know you guys got a lot to say. But let me say this, ask you this. Isn't it well recognized, and I hear many people with it, that no matter who wins this election, tougher times are ahead. No matter who wins this election, it is anticipated that there will be job losses from the public sector. That this is a bullet that we cannot avoid biting any longer. And that if you try to avoid that, you are going to put the country in a worse off position. It is also being widely said that no matter who wins the next election in Barbados, we will have to be subjected to the discipline of the International Monetary Fund for a period. Do you believe that a Labour Party can avoid that?
Well, let's say that the last Labour Party administration under the former member and leader of this country, when we came to Paul Ryan, they were saying that jobs, number one is number one, and number one is jobs.
He ain't there anymore, you know. Don't forget.
No.
Don't forget he isn't there anymore.
How many people would be employed, and what can be done to avoid the same problems that we are in? I mean, a worse situation now. I am saying that as long as you look at trying to empower and get the people of this country get them out to work. We haven't had a job.
You don't answer my question, you know. You are conveniently ducking the question that I put to you.
No, I'm saying to you.
Can you avoid those things?
No, I said to you quite carefully, and I said it, that we cannot say that the road would be an easy one going forward into the future and looking out. But I am saying that this Barbados Labour Party is capable and confident enough that we can achieve what is need to be achieved.
Man, that is political rhetoric. There's a time and place. My friend, there is a time and a place for you to go on the political platform with that kind of talk. And I know that I incense some of you when I don't encourage it. I'm not here about that. It is clear that we have some issues. It is also clear that this government has not handled the issues in a way that some people believe they ought to have handled them. Let's accept that. But the big question now is, what can we do? How can we fix it? And if you say to me that a Labour Party is going to make the difference, then you must move beyond that kind of shrill rhetoric to say to me exactly how. Now, the Labour Party has spelled out a whole set of things out there, put out its own ideas. Sometimes you people who support the political party have not even read what the political party said. You don't come to this discussion armed with the information so that you can support the political party of your choice better than that. These empty statements about who's going to win and who's going to lose, that's not going to take us anywhere, and a lot of people in the country are tired of that. I know I helped create a Facebook page by telling a man that some time ago, but you know, I stand by that. It is not that we don't want to hear you. It is simply that we just want to raise the level of the discussion to a point where, you know, we can be perceived to be helping people to understand the issues rather than just being partisan in our approach. I mean, at the end of the day, you may end up being partisan, but people benefit out of the discussion far greater than if you just stick slavishly to the notion that my party is going to win and my party is better and that sort of thing, all right? Down to brass tacks, hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
No, sorry, I cannot talk too long because being asthmatic, the voices, you know, go and come and it. No, I'm sorry.
But I never stopped you in the past, though.
No, but it's really, it's been getting me down over the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Now, sorry to hear that.
That's right. Now, Mr. Ellis, you know where I live, right? Now,
I have a general idea. I've never been to your house.
No, you can't, no. You know, I won't open the door for you. You know that.
Right. So don't tell the public that I know exactly where you live. I don't.
Well, you know, but you see, you can't ring the bell.
I'm told that you live in a certain vicinity.
All right, that's all right. Then. No, that's serious now. Now, you know we got the drain across the road. Now, that was broken early last year. I forget what month, up in January. It take about 3, 4, 5 months they come to fix it. Do you know, not sooner they put it down, the exact same spot that the drain break again, the grit break again, and then now they got to have signs there. So if you're paying somebody to do a work and the work is bad, they should have somebody to come and look at it?
Huh? Well, nobody has looked at it? That's what you're saying?
No, well, it's still there, 3 months now. It's there, and people have to navigate around it. It is bad. You know, and what, you know, they put up the taxes for the road to do the road work. What's happened to the money for the road? People paying high tax for the road, even for the road works. Where is that money gone, Mr. Ellis? The road is, don't tell me about Jamaica, Trinidad, and England. I talk where I'm living. The road is bad. We lost 2 tires in 6 months. 2 tires blowed out, cannot use in 6 months. Keep dropping in holes. You don't see them. That's why we don't want to go out at night now. because we're scared to go home. Because you're going out, and next thing you end up in some big hole. Huh? And at night, you're scared to be alone on the road at night if you get a blow tire. Huh?
That's not the only reason. You didn't see that story overnight about the person who was robbed.
Their
Mercedes vehicle stolen and burnt.
But Mr. Johnson, Mr. Ellis, believe you me, I would not stop with that person. I would have to find some way of navigating or reverse back quick. Because, you know, you heard about these things happening, not just here, all over the world they were doing that.
But if if the Good Samaritan didn't stop.
Good Samaritan what? When you know there is at alone at night, you stop? Hell no. I'm sorry.
You
Hell
thought
no.
that the Good Samaritan was on a road that wasn't lonely?
Listen to me. That is... Anyway,
you thought he was on Broad Street?
It is bad. No one should stop at night.
Do you understand the point that I'm making to you? It is because of the circumstances that the story of the Good Samaritan stands out.
Well,
it is that, you know, rather than run away in an environment of potential danger, the Good Samaritan decided that he was going to go out there and aid the person nonetheless.
And he, you know, that could have killed him. Tongue
that is true. That is true.
No,
so that's why the story stands out.
I hope he learned his lesson, and the whole of Barbados learned a lesson. Don't stop with no one. Bet you if you put your foot down, he will get up and run, though. You know, so all I can say, but the trouble is, Mr. Johnson, this DLP government have wasted money. They tell you they're going to 5 million for this, 10 million, and they cannot come and say, how the 10 million spent, where the 10 million, where the 10 million gone, where the 1 million gone. Huh? Something is
wrong.
Well,
they spend a lot of time telling you that the former administration was responsible for this and that.
Oh, that's crap. You take up a government. Every government in the world take up a government. And the government you take up, you got to work with what you come and find. You promise.
Well, it's good politics, isn't it?
No, but they're doing it too regular. It's constantly the BLP.
But you know...
The BLP.
But when you were a Dem, you used to do it too?
Huh?
When you were a Dem, you spoke like that.
I was only a Dem for 5 years.
5 years? That's a lot of time.
No, listen to me. Don't go back about no Dems, no Ems. Look,
When you were a Dem, you used to call this program.
All right, sir.
And you spoke as passionately... Huh? When you're married, you talk about your first wife.
And you divorce. You're going to still talk about this.
Some people do. There's some people who remarry their first wives.
Well, got to be something, why isn't it?
Okay. I'm saying to you that I am not dismissing the possibility that you could remarry the Democratic Labour Party.
I'll die first. Not me, not this girl. You don't understand. When I finish with you and I don't like you, I stay away from you. You do something wrong to me, I don't forgive. God forgive me, I do not forgive. If you
the Democratic Labour Party didn't do you anything wrong?
Listen, don't go about it. I'm not talking about the Democratic Labour Party. I'm talking about this DLP government.
I'm fascinated at how strongly you will take a position one day for the Dems and another year for the Bs.
It's not one day for the Dems. It's nearly 10 years now I'm in the BLP. And I will stand up. I am telling you, this government wastes money and cannot come and tell the people where they do with the money. Where the money gone? Everyone you see with big ride, big this. We're not jealous of a man having that. But my God, man, look, you can't go to the supermarket, Mr. Johnson. You can't. It's hard to go now. I go and I only buy exactly what I want. My red eye do not show me, go down, take this. You don't go and take things that you know you can't pay for.
Well, let me clarify this story for you before you go. They tell me, somebody says to me that the reason why the guy stopped the vehicle down there in Morgan Lewis is because he's a doctor. He didn't stop because he was a good Samaritan, she says.
Well, it's a good thing. You learn his lesson now. Don't only make sure you stop, not even a day and along the street. Not even a day, no. Because people
But seriously, if you follow that particular rule so rigidly, you know, there's somebody who will genuinely be in trouble who would be left to die.
Well, that's it, they have to die, but me stopping along the road? Listen, I would put my foot down so hard, I bet but he died or not, he would.
Well, fortunately, you don't drive anyhow, so.
Who don't drive, but I don't drive over here.
You don't drive over here.
I own four cars. I don't drive over here.
You don't drive over here, right?
No, but my husband does.
Precisely, and I know that. Your husband is a kind-hearted man. Anytime
he's
fierce.
He wouldn't be that stupid.
All right, Vinny. Always a pleasure hearing you. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Down to the welcome to the program. Hello? 434-1790.
Hello, good morning, David.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you doing? Yes.
Very good. Now, these problems that we have been experiencing, especially transportation, we have a habit, whenever things are going wrong, we get rid of the maid, we get rid of the gardener. The problem at Transport Board, David, is clearly a management problem. It has been going on for years.
Well, you don't fix it.
I don't know, can't do it. I've made many suggestions.
You need a job inside there.
If I had my way.
You need a job in there.
You listening to me? Can I speak? You didn't interrupt Mr. Agriculture.
It should be on the board.
Can I speak freely now?
Yes, you can. I never stop you from speaking freely. I just want to give you a job.
I don't mind. I would do it for nothing. I tell you, I would do it for nothing. Whenever you go at the roots of a tree, unless you're putting fertilizer to the tree, you're looking to kill the tree. You always trim a tree from the top. The Transport Authority serves no purpose whatsoever. I am still very dumbfounded that you can take duties from licensing authority, a place that existed for years and function. The traffic section have always been functioning well. Always. So what you do, you take duties from the traffic section, you take duties from the licensing authority, and you put a group together, headed by the minister, and call it a transport authority.
But you didn't tell us all of this before, Mr. P.
Yeah, but yes, God, yes, look.
It is hardly likely that in all the calls that you have made to us over the years, that you haven't told us exactly this at least 10 times.
But Mr. Adekaz always used to talk about Peter Larson. He don't talk about him now.
But he got a good reason why he doesn't talk about it right now. And I don't know that you have the same reason why you should be shifted from talking about transportation.
I get it to that.
We're being wicked.
We have ministers that are failing, and for some reason the Prime Minister would not shift them, would not fire them, nothing. The Transport Authority, office of the Transport Authority want closing.
Listen, let me tell you something.
They want shutting down.
We have had, since 2008, you have had ample opportunity to articulate this view and advance ideas for trying to solve this country's transport woes. They haven't listened to you. Don't you think the time has come to go into a completely different mode? Rather than trying to convince the government of the day, you should be speaking to all of the political parties that are presenting themselves to the public of Barbados for the next general elections, identifying what you see as the weaknesses and some of the steps that need to be taken to improve the situation when it comes to transportation, public transportation through the bus service, how we deal with the ZRs, how are we going to deal with gridlock in some parts of our roads? That's where I think you need to take the discussion now. It would help. Because the fellas haven't listened to you all these years, and I don't believe that they have time to listen to you now. These guys are too busy to get campaigning now to hear you.
Campaigning?
Yeah, the manifesto already written, you know.
Let me tell you something. Is it a so-called government? I have never seen a government doing things to lose an election in my life. Never till now. I want a Bob Ezra party shirt. You can get one for me?
A BLP shirt?
A BLP shirt. I already got a Democrat there party one. And let me tell you what he wanted.
They got new ones?
You know what? No, I thought...
The Dems got a new shirt? You mean one of them old fiddy shirts that from the last election or from elections past?
Yeah, they still look good.
Dems no, Dems forever, something like that?
Something like that. I want to tidy toilet again and twist the extra plat in here. I took curse, and now you find out burn all two together.
Yeah, you sound so dread when I hear you here. Down to brass tacks. This person says 10 years ago, this country was not this badly off, and everyone wanted a change. Why should we want a change no more than ever? It is clear that these people cannot turn this country around. Therefore, the writer says, give someone else a chance so that the people who have money can release it and help this sinking country. They go on to say that the problem is that this government has been self-destructing, and people with money have absolutely no confidence in any of them. Therefore, they will not invest. And the writer concludes, if they are given another 5 years, pray tell us what will happen to our Barbados. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I am fine. Hold on a minute. I just want to do something.
And somebody else is raising this question of the amendment to the Police Act. I hope to hear some further discussion about that. It's an important change which has been made. It's come against a backdrop of a lot of concern last year about the crime situation. One can therefore interpret this as government's response to that. And we've heard David Commerjean speak about it. I don't know how many people understand the significance of the amendments. He has referred, for instance, to the fact that it gives the Commissioner of Police and the Attorney General the power by themselves to impose a two-day curfew on any area. So those are things that I think you should be talking about. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm fine. Look, when I opened my papers yesterday, I was so annoyed.
Why?
When I see this thing in the South Coast with the tourists and water stuff. I'm putting the blame squarely on the Prime Minister, Barbados. We have four ministries that is involved in this thing. Tourism, environmental, or what you call it, health, and some other one.
The water resources?
Right. And they could see there, they say it's 2 years that this thing been going on. The Prime Minister and the government of Barbados is telling people that tourism is our thing. We don't have nothing else but tourism. Every minister in Barbados should be on the ball when it comes to tourism. Even if you're not the minister of tourism, you know how Seeley feels today? You know how Minister Seeley feels today, the minister of tourism? That man is in stitches. To see that this thing's been going on for 2 years, and the prime minister who have the power to change people, you got people like Essex saying nothing. Mr. Lowe, he's the environmental minister. Nothing. These people have nothing to say. This is tourism is affecting the whole country, and the prime minister sitting down on the backside and saying nothing. He ain't doing nothing. I blame the prime minister because he have the power to switch wrong people. You got a minister, a housing talking a whole bunch of foolishness all over the country, and he's still there. Why, but he can't change nobody? Why, but he ain't got no power? This thing is tourism. It is our business. We ain't got none other. Manufacturing is out of place. Whereas we ain't got nothing else. Everybody should be on tourism. And the Prime Minister, I blame the Prime Minister for this. 2 years should not happen. It should not happen in a country like Barbados. I depend on tourism just like anybody else. And he ain't saying nothing. He ain't doing nothing. David, I was so upset yesterday. I began to tremble. I was so upset. I am sorry, but I blame the Prime Minister for this. He got people in place, but they're not doing nothing, and he ain't doing nothing. All he's thinking about is Democrat Labour Party. Barbados is for everybody. Tourism is for everybody. Why is he sitting down on his backside?
Why do you say that he is only thinking about the Democratic Labour Party? Where is the evidence to support that?
Listen to me. I remember a couple of years ago, some guys tried to out him, and he said that heads would roll or something of that effect. And he ain't do nothing because he ain't do a thing because if he had done something, maybe the party would be in jeopardy.
Has he paid a price for not doing anything in your judgment?
I think he has.
How so?
I mean, you are on Barbados. And right now, everybody in Barbados, wherever you go, Ramshaw, wherever you go now, people are against the Prime Minister and this government. They ain't know what they're doing. They ain't know what well, let them do. They ain't know what they're doing, but...
But you know, let's face it. You know, the Prime Minister has always had his own way of doing things. That's his own style. And as people say, a leopard can't change his spots. That's how he has been made up.
David, his way of doing things is do nothing. Do nothing.
No, but there's another way that I hear it being described. It is giving studied concentration to the problem, so that when you finally make a decision, you make the right decision, and you don't waste money. That is the way I've heard it couched.
Look, man. Look, this man don't make the decision about nothing. He just sit down and wait and go at Lara Court and welcome a few tourists.
But at least he makes a decision there.
Tourism is our business. It's affecting the small business. It's affecting everybody. He is the leader of the country. You cannot have ministers talking a whole lot of bilge and not doing nothing. Shift them. Move them. He got the power. Move them.
Does he have the latitude? Does he have the latitude to fire or move? Is he in a position to move them?
Yes, in a position, he's the Prime Minister.
With the kind of slim majority that he's had?
Yes, but you can still move it. Show your power.
At this stage?
Show the power.
At this stage?
At this stage, yes. Show your power. Show your power. You got it. You got the power. Show the power that you got. Move people that feel that they should be...
Well, I'm going to say something to you that you may not agree with. Mm. But if a Prime Minister has made no such change in the last 5 years, why would anybody take him seriously if he made that kind of change now?
Look, Democrat Labour Party people, the Democrat Labour Party people, but they still live in Barbados. Mm-hmm. They live here. Tourism, we ain't got nothing but tourism. Mr. Ellis, we ain't got nothing but tourism. If the tourists stop coming here and we get problems, look, that's next door to that article was $410 million, 6.6 weeks of imports. Everything is Barbados is import. And you got a Prime Minister sitting down on the backside and ain't doing nothing. He ain't doing nothing.
But he says to you that since December, he had people from the Inter-American Development Bank and the Trinidadians, and reports were being prepared and that sort of thing. So it's the counter to what you're saying is, look, since December, something was being done.
He ain't doing nothing. How could something like this, listen, this thing affects the whole country. How could something like this affect the whole country for 2 years and the Prime Minister have to know and tell you that he... Look, you know what he tells the people of Barbados?
What?
That everywhere ain't perfect. No country is perfect.
One thing, you're watching social media because the reference that he...
I don't watch social media.
The reference that he made to the situations, two situations, were things that I saw widely circulated on the social media. So
the worst thing you could ever... never tell anybody is everything imperfect. You can't tell people things imperfect. Why did I get charged $200 for not wearing my seatbelt? I ain't perfect. They still charge me $200. Everybody in Barbados go to court. I see a line of people in papers yesterday. All of them was charged $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 for whatever they do. Them imperfect. You can't tell people that I ain't perfect. You can tell somebody that we ain't perfect. So everybody, what foolishness is that? You can't tell people ain't perfect. Everybody, nobody ain't perfect. There are 3 people on this earth and one wasn't perfect. 3 people, as if you study Bobby Bellis, that God, Adam, and Eve, and one wasn't perfect. But all you telling people they ain't perfect, he have to get off his backside and change from some of them ministers that he have and let them work. This thing in the South Coast is causing Barbados a lot of bloody problems. I passed up there the other day and outside wasn't wet, but it was stink. And I tell my wife I ain't stopping there to buy no chicken. Not down in here, I ain't buying nothing down in here.
Yeah.
It's affecting not only tourists, it's affecting everybody. Get on his backside and get the thing fixed.
All right, sir.
He ain't know what he's doing.
Thank you very much. I can't defend him in the way that I perhaps should, so I would like those of you who have a different view and believe that he has actually been doing well and doing something about the problem, this is your opportunity to come and put up the strongest defense that you can. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good. Now, I don't want to talk anything pertaining to what the government should do or what it shouldn't do. Because as far as I'm concerned, they are finished. Their time has lapsed. It is only a matter of time of declaration. It is like, you know that you have a brother in the house and he is dead, but you can't do anything until the doctor come and the police come. Then the doctor will pronounce you dead and then the body can move. So we only waiting for the pronunciation of when the election is being called. Now, you asked some very serious questions this morning. And they heard this from 1976. How the new government would solve the problems that they're being faced with, if it would be any better. I heard that from 76. Now, I can carry you right back to school. You did math at school?
We all did, didn't we?
Not everybody. I did math. As I asked if you did it. You know that you cannot solve a geometrical problem unless you understand the theorems. You agree with that?
You must learn it. You apply that to government in what way?
The principle of governing. I can give you some quotations. An economist is like a blind man searching for a black cat in a dark room. You remember that statement?
I've heard that.
Good. In order to, all who lost confidence must go and look for it. Though anytime, and the third one is those downgrading by Standard & Poor's, all of them should go into the garbage can. Anytime a leader refuses to accept those 3 important principles, you are going down the wrong street. And that is where we are now. You ignore the economists. You ignore Standard & Poor's. And you tell people who lost confidence, go and look for it. How could you expect to project anything where you're not following the principles of the economy? And that is where the downfall of this country came from. The leadership. So therefore, I can't understand if you didn't lead then, or you didn't understand the principle of governance then, how are you going to understand it 5 years after?
No, you're all putting so many lashes in the government. I was really hoping
that
the next person who was going to call me,
I did not say that. You
was going to come here and defend the Prime Minister and all that.
You were into the church. When the pastor should allow you to ask you to sit down or kneel down and ask God for guidance, you went to St. Lucy in the church. I talk about horse racing. But if his heart running fast by itself, huh? And you went in another church in Green Hill, and the pastor tell you, he can tell you how to beat the opposition. Before the pastor of that church convinced the prime minister that he needs seeking help from God in order to carry through the management of this country. But he's telling he how to meet. That's why I don't really follow the movements of certain pastors in this church. And this country. Anyhow, let me go on to what I really want to discuss. Now, I want to look at some financial difficulties that incur on taxpayers. Now, when a government, as we always say, ever to child tear the seats of our bus, the taxpayers got to pay for it. I got into a different realm. When you have, I look for a protection of the worker and the taxpayers. When you have a government who took it upon itself, along with these statutory corporations, get about a policy and dismiss workers for their political reasons, and then they are found that these people were wrongfully dismissed, and the government got to compensate them, who does got to pay the money?
The taxpayers at the end, isn't it?
Good. Well, what I am drafting now in a new resolution that any statutory corporation for the last 5 years that went about a policy on the advice of a minister, and I want all Mayor Martley is listening to this, and the statutory chairman or any of them that are responsible for any unfair dismissal of government, that those people should be able, those chairmen of those statutory corporations and management, if they were awarded $60,000, they should pay at least 20% on the taxpayers, which is the government should pay a portion, but they should not get away for sending home people on 30.
A new law would have to be created
exactly
for that.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking to prevent unfair dismissal in the government workplaces because they take this, because they know that they don't have to pay this money, and the taxpayers got to pay. And they do it willy-nilly. And it's time that we sit down and not only wait for these fly-by-night legislators, let me deal with some legislators to stop the harassment of dismissals and workplaces. I pass the workers now, but I'm looking at the point where government is taking the taxpayers' money and unfairly because they know it don't have to come from their pocket. And we're looking down the road. And let me finish on this, David. In 1976, I was like this too. I thought that Abar is the only body could run the country, and he could not. When the other was going through crisis between 73 and 76, I said nobody else can do it. Abar can do it. Here comes Tom Adams, come with some ideas on policies, build highways, develop the country, and Abar could not get it done. We went into 1994. After Saloy said in 91 that the economy was battling cigar fees, so run into crisis, nobody else could get it. Do they cut wages, the same home people, the same people mad, lose houses, and here come Owen Arthur. He bring a policy and save the country and set back employment. So to ask if anybody would be able to solve this problem, yes, it can be solved. Because as long as you follow the principles that I told you just now, if you adhere to the economists, if you adhere to the things that should be done, and you gain confidence, this country will go far. But at present, it can happen. Thank you, David.
Dr. Brastacks, welcome to the program.
Good.
I'm sure that there are a couple of you out there who feel really down in the dumps when you hear all these people attacking the Democratic Labour Party. And you feel that, you know, they need to be properly defended. Please do not depend upon the moderator to do that. That is why you have a telephone. Pick it up. Don't turn off the radio, because I know how it is with some of you, too. When the party under attack, the first thing you do is turn off the radio when the caller is speaking about it, and then you hope that after 10 minutes or so, he'll be finished and you come back. But this is your time to contribute to the discussion as well. Please do. Down to brass tacks.